All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up? My man, how you doing? This is Christmas week. Can you believe
this,
it's here?
This is Christmas week, and I was careful not to celebrate because I was told last week, you told me, we're not going to celebrate 100 weeks. We're going to celebrate 104.
Right.
So I'm keeping my powder dry. I'm not going to make a big deal out of 100 consecutive weeks of recording the Penn Cinema Podcast. I'm going to just let that... It's just a number, David. It's just a number.
Until 4 weeks from now, when it becomes so much more.
Yeah. So we're going to have to plan like our 2-year shindig.
We got to talk, man.
When people turn two, you know what their parents call it?
Terrible twos.
The terrible twos. So I think that suits us just fine.
get ready, listeners. The worst is yet to come.
You think this is annoying now. You ain't seen nothing yet. I can take it to a whole new level.
Our goals for after 2 years is to get every fact wrong, every name wrong.
Right. Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, listen, in the spirit of Christmas, I'm going to lead off and I know that not everybody celebrates Christmas, but it is a large holiday this week, later this week. And, while we typically try to stay close to entertainment news, specifically movie theater news, we have some other items on the agenda today. We have game story news that we need to talk about. We have a TV ad that I want to talk about later, and we have some movie news. But before we get to all that, did you hear what happened in Argentina?
No, what happened in Argentina?
Now, this comes to you from the cutting, hard-hitting journalism reported on AccuWeather.com.
Whoa.
They listed a story, and the headline is this: a Jesus-shaped cloud appears in the clouds above Argentina.
Look, all I'm saying, and you could really put this any way you want, right? Like, you can connect it one way, you connect it another. It's kind of confusing. I understand that. But I was in Argentina between 8th and 9th grade for like 2 weeks. So, is it connected? There's no evidence that it's not.
We will let you, our dear listeners, draw your own conclusions on this one. But clearly the evidence points towards David. So I'm just going to say
That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying. In movie news this weekend, I thought this was interesting because it sort of ties back to, you know, memories. Monster Hunter. Do you think it's safe to call it Monster Hunter the much maligned movie?
The much what movie? Maligned?
Maligned. You see, we're going to get into a vocabulary later when we talk about listeners' notes, but I have this new thesaurus that I bought. So it's right next to my dictionary. And I'm going to try big words. And this first word that I'm trying out is maligned.
Okay.
Like, do you think... Is it safe to say, I mean, this movie was originally slated to be released like a long time ago, and then it was pushed to 2020, and then it got pushed to December, I think December 25th, and then it got pulled up to December 18th.
Right.
And did we think this movie was going to flat out bomb?
I did.
Yeah, so did I. Well, Monster Hunter became this weekend the number one movie in the box office, surpassing Croods. What's interesting about this is it grossed. Now, I'm not trying to this is not a commentary on the state of the movies, but it is what it is. The number one movie this weekend grossed $2.2 million. The more interesting fact, I think, is that the number one movie was Monster Hunter, which grossed $2.2 million and played on only 1,700 screens. Last year at this time, Star Wars opened on 4,400 screens.
Wow. Okay. So that's crazy.
So that tells you that more than a lot more than half of movie theaters in the country are closed.
Yeah. Yeah. But not only that, it seems like a lot of people are going to these 17,000 theaters.
Right. 1,700. But yes, it's wild. I mean, people are ready. I'm not turning this into a political thing, but it's as it relates to the movie business, people are ready to come back to the movies.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really interesting. I think 2021, as soon as the vaccine becomes a little more common and you know, as soon as people start to feel a little bit more comfortable, I think the movie business, the box office is going to blow up.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I've been talking to people that are like, oh, this is just proof that theaters will be dead. Like, this is done. I think this right here shows when we're back, they'll be back.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody is friends with me on Facebook, but you saw that the article I posted from the New York Times, which I thought really articulated well. Like, listen, the movie business has been pronounced dead many times since the early 1920s when it first came out. Right. So we'll be okay. But yeah, so Monster Hunter, number one movie with $2 million.
All right. Tessa Thompson, who plays Valkyrie in the Thor movies in the Last Avengers Endgame.
Is she going to play Valkyrie in Thorth?
She is going to play Valkyrie in Thorth.
Thorth. The fourth.
She's the fourth Thorth.
The fourth Thor. What if there was a whole new franchise called Thorth?
Thorth.
And then there was four of them.
It was a National Lampoon's like spinoff.
Right.
I could see that. She's.
I can picture Mad Magazine having a headline about Thorth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Right.
So Tessa Thompson's teasing the possible Avengers 5 feel to Thorth. She says, "Yeah, I can tease that she's definitely king of New Asgard when we find her," speaking of Valkyrie. "And as was in the case in the last four, I would say that she's a part of an adventure that involved Thor in the sense that it's called Thor Love and Thunder." That is such a confusing statement.
So I can help you out with this, David. You want me to step in just for a moment?
Yeah, yeah.
Just on this one sentence. I think what she's saying is that in the movie, which is called Thor, Love and Thunder, the character whose name is Thor
has
a role in said movie.
As well as she. She also has a role.
Right. She and he. They, if you will.
They. Proper pronouns.
Right.
She says, "And I'd say there's some cool stuff going on. We have some new characters. We have some folks potentially from other pockets of the MCU. And then we have some folks maybe that we've seen before." I think she's speaking to the fact that the new Thor is going to be Jane Foster, a.k.a. That girl. Why can't I think of her name? I want to say Anna Paquin, but it's clearly not. It's Natalie Portman. Yeah.
There's a few things we need to unpack here. Have you noticed that that's the second week in a row I've used that?
You've been using that. What kind of man are you? I don't even know.
Now that the cool kids don't say it anymore, like they've moved on to say things, you know, different things. No. Now that like the cool kids don't say it anymore, now it's okay. I can say it again. All right. So first of all, I think the operative word, because she's obviously being like very coy, the operative word to this entire quote or story is the word tease. Like she's clearly teasing, like we have some new characters, we have some folks, blah blah blah, and maybe some other folks. So like That's cool.
This is the most safe statement right. actor has ever made, neither confirming nor denying anything other than the facts of the title of the movie, basically.
Right. So we have some hard-hitting reporting that Thor is going to be in Thor's.
Yeah. Woof.
I also want to draw attention, I think it's a cool turn of phrase, how she said some folks from other pockets of the MCU.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. Like, obviously we all want the Avengers, and you know, if this is going to turn into like Avengers 5, that would be great and that would be fine with me. But also, like, I need somebody like you or Mark Ponce or, you know, some of my real experts to like come up with some other like, what are some pockets from the MCU that I'm not thinking of?
Like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, like yeah. That would be great.
I think that's what she's mostly talking. I think she's talking about the Guardians because that's where Thor is right now.
Mm.
He left with the Guardians, so
right.
We could see a couple of them back. We're also going to see Jane Foster become Thor, so we got that, like the Earth side of things. Potentially Doctor Strange. I don't know, since he seems to be in all of them right now. And we'll see.
I think this is too much to hope for, but I hope there is a new like breakout character.
Oh.
Like that catches everybody off guard. Like not a character like from Guardians of the Galaxy or Doctor Strange or whatever, which would be cool too. Like that would be amazing. But like someone that like Penn Ketchum has never heard of.
Well, I think I went well.
In other words, like the average guy is like, oh my God, that's so cool, and this character is amazing.
I think the character they want to break out is the female Thor. Like that's like the big thing that's all hinted yeah. on. So
that'd be awesome. Is she the love or the thunder?
Well, I mean, both, I guess. You know, it depends yeah. on what story they go with. So
all right. So Avengers. All right, that's cool. Tom Cruise. Did you hear this story? We didn't talk about this last week, did we? I think it broke like right around the time we were recording, yeah. or maybe shortly thereafter. A audio clip came out of Tom Cruise. The only way I can describe this is the man lost his damn mind on the set of Mission Impossible 7 when he saw some crew members huddled over a monitor doing their jobs, working, but they were doing so without masks on.
Oh.
And he launched into a rant about, and it was a tirade. It was filled with expletives, you know, the kind of words that you would never hear me say.
Clearly.
Clearly. But from my time down on the docks, you know, I've heard sailors talking like this. So it wasn't my first time hearing this kind of language, but he let loose and he was essentially screaming at everybody saying, you know, the entire movie industry is watching us. I talk to producers every night. I'm talking to directors. I'm talking to investors, you know, and we need to set the bar for production companies to stay in business. And it was a little tiny bit overdramatic because they're not the only movie production that's underway right now. But clearly he's a leader in Hollywood and it is important that his team be compliant and safe and everything like that. So a couple things. First of all, when I first heard it, I was like, that's awesome. Cause good for him. Cause he's, you know, he's expressing the importance of like, I'm a little salty right lately because I think some of my colleagues are not complying with, you know, some of the mitigation measures to the degree that maybe I think they should be. So I'm a little bit salty about that. So I was like cheering for him, yeah, good for you. But then the other thing that sort of came from it was, did you see the animation clip of somebody took clips from Santa Claus from the original animated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I have not seen this. Whatever it is, I haven't seen it.
And Santa, they clipped together Santa talking to the elves and Rudolph, and then they put the audio track to it. They put the Tom Cruise audio track to it. It is priceless.
That sounds
great. Have you seen that with other movies? Like the most famous one, or at least the one I've seen that I think was the funniest, was that great scene in Goodfellas when Joe Pesci is sort of teasing what's his face, and he's like, "How am I funny? I'm funny to you? What? I'm like funny like a clown. I make you laugh, right?" You remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see that audio superimposed on Charlie Brown and the Peanuts?
No, I've seen stuff like that, but I haven't seen that particular one.
All right, I'm going to cut and paste that one onto the Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page because it is freaking gold. So, first of all, Tom Cruise, good for you. Second of all, thanks to Drew for Drew. As we all know, he does not miss anything. Like, he does not miss a trick. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't miss a trick. So, sure enough, moments after the Tom Cruise audio leaked, Drew was texting me this video file, which had me laughing out loud. But then, now today, there's a new chapter to this story.
Oh.
Leah Remini? Yeah. You know, the actress from King of Queens?
Oh, yeah, Leah.
Yeah, and isn't she mixed up in Scientology?
Ooh, I can't speak yes or no to that, but maybe.
I'm pretty sure she is, and I apologize. I shouldn't say she's mixed up in it like it's some kind of freaking, I don't know what. Anyway, I'm not trying to get into a thing about that. But her and Tom Cruise have some shared history. They have some friends in common. We'll just say that, right? She came out today arguing or alleging that the whole Tom Cruise thing was a publicity stunt.
That could very well be, you know?
I wouldn't put it past them.
I would not put it past them. I mean, the man's also a robot. I didn't know he got angry.
Well, and we all know he does his own stunts. So, yeah. You know, there you go. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
You got any good remake rumors?
Dude, how do you feel about the Exorcist remake?
Oh, I heard there's going to be an Exorcist remake. I can't wait.
Wrong. According to William Fredkin, he shuts down the Exorcist remake rumors. He says not enough money or motivation in the world could get them to remake the 1973 classic another two times. Because hasn't it been done like four times already?
I got a lot of problems with this statement.
What's your problem with Ben?
I got problems. I got a lot of problems. You know what my problem is?
What's your problem?
Here's my problem. This is my problem. The only people I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to say this is my problem.
Wait, is this your problem?
my problem. I have a variety of problems with this statement, but I have one main one. The only people in the world who say something like there's not enough money in the world for me to do that are rich people. Like, this jerk is sitting on like millions of dollars. He probably, you know, lives in one of these Beverly Hills houses surrounded by other rich people. You know, his biggest problem in life is that guys like you don't know whether his last name is pronounced Friedkin, Fredkin, or Friedkin. Right. And, you know, that probably keeps him up at night. But other than that, I guarantee this guy doesn't really have any problems. And so now somebody starts a rumor about an Exorcist remake, and he comes out, and the words that he chooses to address this with are, there's not enough money in the world to do this. That is bull.
Yeah. Now, okay. Is he the creator? Who is this guy?
I don't know if he wrote it or directed it or whatever, but here's the thing. There's things in the world that I do not want to do. And I wouldn't do them. Like, if you wanted to give me $100, I'd be like, nah, no thanks. And then you were like, well, Penn, I'll give you $1,000. Remember when we were little and all you had was like frogs and pebbles and like a marble, you know, and you're like, hey, Pat, I'll give you this dead frog and two marbles if you jump off that bridge. Right? And you would do it, you know. And now, like, so, you know, if you want to give me $100 to do something that I don't want to do, I'm probably going to tell you to go pound sand. But you know, and if you want to give me $1,000 to do it, I'd probably still tell you, like, well, it depends. You know, it depends really mostly how public, you know, this thing that I'm averse to doing is. But if you start talking about, you want to give me $100 million, like, I don't care what it is. The answer is yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the only reason why this guy, you know, wants to choose the expression "there's not enough money in the world" is because he's already rich. So, therefore, given his status, I reject and deem his comments irrelevant. Yeah. Because somewhere there is a poor person who's ready to make a movie and ready to make a remake of The Exorcist, and that person is motivated and does need money and will get it done.
Right. He's the director of the original, which makes me think, why would they want him to do it anyway?
Right. Like,
you'd think they'd get someone else to do it and ruin it.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's, if he was directing movies in 1973, that means he's like about 70.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Give or take. Probably older. You know, so like, go to your diner, get a coffee to go, and shut up.
His diner that he has in his big mansion, because he doesn't he doesn't mix with the regulars.
Right. Tell your staff to bring you another latte and settle down.
All right. So I'm surprised you put this one in here.
Were you aware of this story?
My bro.
I know. All right, go ahead.
This one hits home. Yeah.
Like I thought it might.
You've never known before. I'm curious as to how much you know about it and why you put it up here. Cyberpunk 2077 was pulled and refunded due to bugs by Sony off of their PlayStation store.
How come you didn't read the middle part of the headline?
You said, damn, Sony. that's what the note says.
There you go. Much better. Wait, I think it's time for this week's version of Who Read It Best.
Yeah.
I think yours was a little squeaky. Mine was like this. Damn.
Oh, you went low. I went high.
Yeah, I went low. I went like, damn, Sony. I don't know anything about Cyberpunk 2077, and I'm looking forward to you filling me in. But this felt like a really big deal because I had sort of heard rumors as it was coming out. I had seen the headlines. I hadn't clicked on the story. But for a company like Sony to take this massive product of theirs and refund it, like, that really – that's a big deal, I think. So that's what I thought it was worth. And every time I look on movie news, this ad – this video game is advertised. So clearly, you know, there's some overlap with audiences. And for them to just pull it and refund it, that's a big deal. So what's the backstory?
Okay. So Cyberpunk 2077 is a very, very highly anticipated game by a production company called CD Projekt Red, who also made The Witcher 3, which is a wildly popular video game. The show is based off the same book series that the game is based off of. So there was a lot of anticipation. This has been like 8 or 9 years in the making. And honestly, I got the new Xbox. And one of the reasons I got it was because I was anticipating playing this game. I was like,
wow.
I was like, I want to play this game in like the super high tech graphics and everything.
Yeah.
So, I pre-ordered it 2 days before it came out. And, you know, installed it and everything. But it came out in really bad shape. The game was not done. The thing is that it didn't release. Like, I have the new system for Xbox. And it came out, but not the one for the new system. It's the one for the older system. And it was upscaled. So, like, it's really been designed for this new system. But it doesn't run well on the old ones. And it's so buggy. Like, people walking through the air or, like, their faces aren't, like, fully rendered. Or it's supposed to be this giant world where you're supposed to walk through and it's supposed to be crowded and you're supposed to feel like every turn you make, it's like you're meeting new people. And I asked for a refund when the moment within the first 30 minutes of the game, my character went into a bar and there was two characters that were the exact same character right next to each other doing the exact same motions at the exact same time. And I thought, this game's not ready. Like, it's supposed to be this big thing. I shouldn't be seeing the same NPC sitting right next to each other. Like it should have something with it to put some other character there. So it's really super buggy, crashing. And basically the CD Projekt Red came out and said, hey, go ahead and ask for a refund. And now Sony and Microsoft both have policies, and it's different depending on which one. Like, I think Sony's was that if you play a game, you can't get a refund in it after you play a certain amount of hours or something. And Xbox, it's within, like, Microsoft's is within, like, 14 days you can get a refund or something. And so normally Sony would not offer these refunds, but so many people were coming back and complaining. And because CD Projekt Red was saying that, Sony said, fine, if you're going to put out this broken game, we're just going to pull it from our store. We're not going to sell it anymore. Mm. Like, if you want to, like, we're not going to put this game out until you fix it. So This game will probably be amazing in another year when they've patched it and they've continued to work on it. So that's the big, it's supposed to be this big single player story. Really fun. It looks really cool. If you have a super high end PC, apparently you can play it with almost no issue, but it's just broken. And Microsoft changed their return policy. They didn't pull it from the store, but they said, no questions asked, they'll give you a refund. So,
do you think it's a case of, do you think there are programmers who, objected to it? I picture guys who are responsible for, actually doing it, telling some executive, somebody like William Friedkin, telling the rich guy that, it's not ready, you can't release it. But then there was, pressure to, put it out. And, hey, screw you, we're putting it out December whatever.
That's exactly what the problem was. Because this game has a history of being pushed back. It was supposed to come out in the spring. And it got pushed back. And then got pushed in November. And then the release date came the week in November it was supposed to come out. They said, hold on, we're going to wait till December. Because we have a few things we want to iron out. And here it was the execs. They've been talking about this game for 9 years. They want to get it out and make the money. And the holiday season is here. The new systems are here. It's the time to put this thing out. The honest truth was they weren't ready.
And a lot of the country was on lockdown or still is on lockdown. Right. So probably, they felt like we better hurry up and get this game out before they invent a vaccine and people can go back to the movies. And yeah.
Now to show you how popular this game was, before it released on release day, they had already sold enough pre-orders that they had made all their money back. Mm. Nine years worth of production that they had already paid for before the game had even come out on day one. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. when I pulled up a trailer to watch for our show, I typed in the trailer, and before I could watch it, I had to watch an ad for Cyberpunk 2077.
Perfect advertising.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Speaking of screw-ups.
Yeah.
The beefcake is toxic again. And it's not funny. It's obviously not funny because he's being allegedly charged with, being abusive and, and all this kind of stuff. And, he's saying that he's still sober, but he hasn't recovered from PTSD and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a big one for second chances and, everything like that. And that's all good. I get it that we're all suffering and we all have our demons. But at the same time, I also am a firm believer that there's consequences for your behavior. So the consequences for his behavior is that Netflix, he was in a movie, I forget the name of the movie, but he had supporting role, and Netflix has dropped him from all the promotional materials for the Oscar push. This reminds me, I think it's a little tragic because I feel like he had a higher ceiling than Mel Gibson did, but it reminds me of Mel Gibson. I feel like the beefcake needs to go hide out somewhere, and in a few years he can start crawling back and try to recapture his career.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but he's got plenty of money, so, he can go a few years without working and then come back later.
Transformers money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So have you ever seen the opera, comedy opera thing about Shia LaBeouf?
No.
So great. It's like this thing about how it's an opera, and they're singing about how you're being chased by, you meet Shia LaBeouf, and he chases you through the woods trying to kill you and stuff. It's I'll send it to you after the show. All right.
Oh, my God.
The LA Film Critic Awards. Is this a big deal?
Yeah, it is, because last year a lot of the people who won LA Film Critic Awards ended up also winning Oscars. You'll remember the movie we were obsessed with last year at this time was Parasite, which did go on. So I'm just going to read a couple. I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's just sort of an interesting, like, I just want to note this, because if you'll recall, we set the tone for our first show. Do you remember? I forget if it was our very first show or maybe it was our second show, but we decided to do our first show about the Oscars.
Yeah, uh-huh, right.
And neither one of us knew anything about any of the movies that were up for the Oscars. but that did not stop us.
Oh, man. We were so better educated the next year.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we took it up a notch last year, and then this year we're gonna take it up another notch, and we're gonna be ready. But the Oscars got pushed back to April 25th. So I don't want to fall too far down that rabbit hole, but I'm just gonna highlight a couple things. Chadwick Boseman, the late Chadwick Boseman, got Best Actor for his role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I think he is probably a lock for Best Actor posthumous. Is that how we say posthumous?
Posthumous, yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to learn how to say that word before we get to the Oscars, because yeah. I think he's gonna get a lot of votes, not only for his outstanding work, but also because of his tragic premature passing. I know that he was incredibly popular, not only with the public, with us fans, but also in the sort of Hollywood elite. He was very definitely well-connected and just, I think, on his way to being an iconic. Well, he certainly is iconic. But the other one I want to draw a couple others is Carey Mulligan won for Promising Young Woman. We watched that trailer on the show and talked about the movie. It's currently playing at Penn Cinema in Wilmington. I thought this was interesting because I did not realize that this movie, Promising Young Woman, was I don't want to say like serious. Like I guess this says more about me than it does about the movie. I wasn't taking the movie seriously. I didn't realize the quality of production that was involved, but there's a lot of good stuff coming out of this movie. So I think I'm going to make an effort to make sure I see Promising Young Woman. I think that's going to end up and certainly in some of the dynamics that are going on in our culture regarding social justice and stuff like that, this is certainly a relevant topic. But Viola Davis got runner-up for her role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And the other one that I wanted to draw attention to was the Best Director, Chloe Zhao, for Nomadland, which you and I have watched a trailer. We watched a teaser and talked about it, and then we watched a real trailer last week. I think Nomadland is going to be a movie that we have to end up really paying attention to. I think this is going to make some news.
Yeah. I think it looks like it's going to be one of those incredibly monumental filmmaking wise movies, but incredibly boring to watch.
I love you, David.
I'm just saying, from the trailers, oh, this looks like it's really well made. I don't think I'm going to get anything out of it.
David Moulton, ladies and gentlemen, keeping it real for 100 weeks in a row.
Hey, look.
Talk to me.
In case you were concerned about what was going on with the Illuminati.
What's the Illuminati? I mean, I can piece it together, but talk to me.
Apparently it's a website or a news thing or something. I don't know.
But I love it.
The Illuminati, they claim both William Dafoe and Thomas Hayden Church will appear in the movie Spider-Man 3, reprising their roles as Norman Osborn / the Green Goblin and Flint Marko / the Sandman. How do you feel about that?
I think last week or the week before when we talked about Spider-Man 3 for an hour and a half.
Which is why I put it on here.
I have two things to say about this. First of all, I used up all my attention that I can pay to Spider-Man 3. So that ship has sailed. But second of all, I love the Illuminati. That's going to be my new favorite website.
You know, I had a very short-lived podcast called Aficionado. And I had a great logo and everything. I love the name, and it just didn't take off. We did it for like, I don't know, 6 months or something. But anyway, Fishing Nerdo, I just love the name.
You had a short-lived podcast. The only thing that was good about it was the name.
Well, I mean, the content was fun too, but it didn't work. But it was
In 1997, I had a business idea. I had a great idea for a business, and I did not do anything to develop this business or begin down the road. Like, I did not do anything to breathe life into this idea or give it legs or give it life or anything whatsoever. But I did buy a box of 100 business cards. Because I like the name. I like the name, and I wanted to see my name under it. I had no idea what I was doing. I did nothing to get started, but by God, I had my business cards.
That's all that matters. Fake it till you make it.
That's it. Well, that's true right there.
You should still be handing those out. What you should do is like, oh, here's my card. Oh, well, I'm sorry, wrong card. All right, so wrapping up our news section here, Chris Pine is in talks to star in Paramount and Hasbro's Dungeons and Dragons movie. Now, I know what you're thinking. Who cares?
No, that's not at all what I'm thinking.
Your face said it all. But let me tell you this.
No.
It's written by the same duo that wrote Game Night. And
which we loved.
Wrote some of Spider-Man Homecoming.
So what did I tell you about Spider-Man, David?
Action comedy, man. Action comedy they can do. They can do the quips. They can do the oohs, the ahs, the hey, ohs, you know. Boo, boo, boo.
Zing, zing, bang.
Yeah, they got it covered. So, who knows? Like, I never played Dungeons & Dragons. Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a dungeon master?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know how deep it went.
I was the first generation. Like, I was the target age when Dungeons and Dragons came out, when it was invented. I was the market.
Yeah.
And every single kid, we all played it. And none of us knew what we were doing. And there was like... I could see with my very eyes, there was like a separation. There was like all of us that always talked about and wanted to play D&D, but then there was the kids who like really like that really is all they did. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like they moved forward, and then all of a sudden they started using words I didn't know, and they knew they...
That wasn't that hard though.
Instead of calling it the dice, they started calling it die. You know what I mean? And, you know, we rolled a die, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it was really bizarre. And there were definitely, like, some holidays where all I wanted was, like, D&D stuff. But, no, I was never good at it. I never turned the corner to become obsessed with it. I remember it. And I don't know what face I was making that made you say whatever you said. But I think this is great. I love Chris Pine. I love Game Night. I don't know which Spider-Man that was, but I'm sure it was great. Spider-Man Homecoming, the one with the suitcases, I think is what it was, right? Isn't that Tom Holland?
Yeah, it's Tom. Yeah. It was the first one, Tom Holland's first one.
Right, the Thorth. Yeah. So.
Also, I want to point out how nicely you glazed over my like blatant jab at you in the middle of your tirade there.
I missed it. What did you say?
They started using big words I didn't know. And I said, oh, that wasn't too difficult.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Even back then, I was easily left in the dust. Or I should say, especially back then. Anyway, that was in the era of like, did I ever tell you about my friend Eddie?
No, friend of the show, Eddie.
Yeah, he's not really a friend of the show, but I guess he is, but I don't think he listens. But anyway, Eddie was one of the smartest kids in our class.
Whoa.
And me and Eddie were good friends. And he was great. He was super, super smart. He could name all the presidents, you know, and in order, you know, and tell you something about them and all this kind of stuff. And he was a great kid, super smart. But, you know, I always made the observation, whenever we ate ice cream cones, the cone would like drip down his hand. You know what I mean? Like, if he comes over the side, going down his wrist, you know? And, you know, anytime anybody brought up Eddie and how smart he was, and why couldn't I be more like Eddie? I always said, like, Eddie can name the presidents, but he can't eat a damn ice cream cone. Like, talk to me when you can eat some soft serve.
Yeah.
When you can manage some soft serve, then we'll talk. But until then, you're just a kid with ice cream on his wrist.
So well said. So well said.
Boom. Mic dropped.
That's why he's not a friend of the show. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. He might be a friend of the show. I don't think I ever Yeah, I don't think I ever told him that story. But but the funny thing is now he's like a major or a corporal or something in the United States Army.
He probably still can't eat his ice cream.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. All right, that's all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah.
We got some trailers here. You want to talk about these?
Yeah, let's get into these trailers. Now, we got four trailers here. Let's start off with Wrong Turn. It's a reboot of a series of which there are six other films.
Right.
I did not know existed. And it's a one night only, and then it goes to streaming. And it's a horror film. Now, this is not my trailer of the week because it looks the most interesting, but it is probably the most trailer of the week we have. Like, all right, like I watched this and I was like, this feels like a trailer I'd see in the movie theater.
Okay.
But it's not my trailer of the week. I think it's the best trailer, but not my trailer of the week because it's not the most, like, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, all right. I don't want to see it either. Now, the other trailer that we wanted to talk about was the WandaVision ad that I see on TV. I watched football this afternoon. Marley and I watched a couple good games. And every commercial break, there was an ad on TV for WandaVision coming soon to Disney Plus, a new series from Disney Plus. They played up the comedy element to it. There was a lot of quips, as you would say. Quips.
Quips.
Quips. Spelled with a Q, not a K.
Whoa.
What? Talk to me. Is this why is this getting such heavy TV advertising?
My broski, we've watched the trailers for this like 400 million times.
Okay, but we didn't. Okay, but we watch a lot of trailers. I know. We've talked about WandaVision. We've watched the trailers. I know, like, you want to make fun of me, but I do actually remember it. But my question is this: why is WandaVision? There's so much content coming, like, for example, Mandalorian. There's so much content on Disney right now, but it seems like WandaVision is being singled out. No? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, just now that Mandalorian ended, which I'll talk about in my thing, now the Mandalorian's over, now it's getting advertised, like, everywhere.
Okay.
Now that you can go binge it. But I think the reason that people are hyping WandaVision before it's out is because, one, what's the number one biggest franchise right now?
Mandalorian.
No. Like, in general. Like, what's the number one, like, what's the number one movie franchise right now? It's got to be Marvel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's not even a franchise. That's like a universe. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvel's the biggest.
Right.
Yep.
Now, unlike all the other Marvel shows that claimed this, this show has the actors from the movies in them, and it is a direct connection to the movie. Because this is this new era where you're going to need to watch these limited series to know everything that's going on in the movies when they come out. And this is the time, I think we talked a little bit about this, this is the time to launch that because everyone's home. They've got the time to watch these series. I mean, there's no movies competing with them.
Right.
Their time. They're very easily going to say, all right, well, I'll watch these. And then when the movies come out, they're going to be like, that paid off. Like, whoa, mind blown. But in the normal atmosphere, they'd be like, I don't want to watch a TV show. Like,
right.
Whatever. Just move on with life. I'll just see the next movie. So.
Okay. Before we get to the next cloud, I want to do a really quick tangent because I was just thinking about Disney Plus. I saw a friend of mine, talked to a friend of mine this weekend who has Apple Plus, Apple TV. like pays for it. And like, remember you said, like, you were making fun of me, like, there's two people, oh, there's three.
Whoa. Did you disown them? Or you were like, you're not real?
He has it, but doesn't watch it.
What?
Like, I was like, well, why do you have it? He's like, I don't know. It just worked out that way. I was like, wait, what? Isn't that weird?
Did he get it as a benefit, or does he pay for it?
I don't know, but let me back up. This is not – I'm not talking about William Friedkin. Like, this guy is not rich. He's a regular guy. You know what I mean? But I feel like he doesn't know what he has. It must be part of a bundle. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to digress, but I just thought it was funny because Amy and I got Apple Plus, and then you gave me a really hard time about it. And then I bumped into this guy this weekend who has it but doesn't even watch it.
Well, see, it's clear. The only other people that have Apple Plus have it by a mistake. You know, it wasn't – they didn't set out – their goal wasn't to get Apple Plus.
Right. You know. Yeah, I should have – yeah, thank you for putting it together for me. I don't know how I didn't get there myself. All right, the third trailer this week is called The Pink Cloud, and there's a stunning disclaimer at the beginning of this trailer that says all comparisons to actual events are purely coincidental. This film was written in 2017 and filmed in 2019. In other words, before the pandemic. And then this movie, Pink Cloud, is basically about how the entire world gets poisoned by this pink cloud and has to quarantine basically until further notice. And the comparisons, the analogies, I thought it was a very disturbing trailer.
Yeah, I think that it looks like a pretty good movie. It apparently, like, it takes things to the extreme because she has a baby and the baby's like five. In one scene. So I guess the major premise is, I don't know if she's at her house or his house, but this woman hooks up with a dude. The pandemic happens the morning after. She's stuck in a house with him. So they wind up living their lives together as a couple. And they have they have a baby. And it's interesting because they can't leave at all. And it's like they install these tubes into their windows that they like drop food into and stuff for people to get groceries. It's a very, very crazy and interesting thing. But I also think it shows a lot of like the emotions of being stuck in your house. And as someone who worked from home for 2.5 months, like, man, my personality completely, like, it definitely took a weird change. Not necessarily like a little depression, but a little bit more like when I went back into the office, I was like, what do I do with hello? I guess maybe. Is that how this goes? You know, like, I guess I'll talk to you later. Or maybe I won't. Okay.
You know? Hello, I guess.
Yeah. How do we do this again? I don't understand. I can't just press a button and go to the bathroom and, you know, you don't see it. Mute the screen or whatever. So.
If they couldn't leave the apartment, how did they get the baby?
No, she gets what? The stork dropped it down that tube through the.
Oh, the stork dropped it down. Yeah. Okay, that clarifies that. So the last trailer of the week is from STX Films, and it stars Jodie Foster and Benedict Cumberbatch, and it's the Mauritanian.
Mauritanian, yeah.
Is it supposed to be like based on a true story?
It seemed to be maybe. I don't know. But it's about this guy that was a recruiter for 9/11 and proving that.
And then Jodie Foster is his defense attorney, like defends him. And it's sort of a little bit of that classic, like, how could you defend this awful monster? And I don't know. It looked okay. It looked like, I don't know. I thought it looked all right. I don't understand why you're still saying Wrong Turn was the only trailer of the week, like the only real trailer.
No. This is too. Like, this is my trailer of the week. This looks like the movie I want to see. But, excuse me, the Wrong Turn looked like a blockbuster. Like, it looked like a movie theater movie.
Like an actual movie. Yeah.
This looked like. You could have, honestly, you could have told me this is coming to Netflix and I would have been like, okay, whatever. Like, not that it's not going to be a good movie, but it just didn't look, it's just like a big production.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, the Mauritanian looks like an interesting trailer. It's definitely worth checking out. And that's it for our trailers this week, huh?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Did you see the movie review this week is I'm Your Woman?
Yeah.
Starring the star of Mrs. Maisel, Rachel Brosnahan, and a TV actor named Irene Skeeny. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how you say it, but did you watch it?
I did. I definitely did.
And?
I can describe this movie in three words.
Awesome.
You ready?
Yeah.
Babies be crying.
Oh my God.
For the first hour more, it was like I had a child.
Right. How relieved were you when the two female leads finally left the cabin without the baby?
Oh my gosh.
Like, thank God.
It's like they didn't know any way to portray that she had a child other than to make it cry at all times. And just the babies make other noises. They do.
Not this baby.
No, not this baby.
Yeah.
although I will say, crying baby aside, it was pretty good. I mean, it's not like right home about, but I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought the mystery was like 100% like mystery. And they even by the end, it's like only vaguely answered at the barest minimum, to the point where the movie ends and I'm like, yeah, but what do they do now?
Right. That was definitely in my mind, a weak part of the movie was a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of loose ends. I agree with your general statement that it wasn't the best movie I've seen, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, mostly because I thought Rachel, Mrs. Maisel, whatever her name is, she was amazing. She's such a talented actress, and I really loved watching her. And the plot was great. Like, you really did not know what was coming next and how it played out and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the baby was – what I want to say about the baby is that as awful as the baby was, I feel like it was very effective at – adding a level of stress.
Yeah.
You know, you watch movies and they try to create an environment where the viewer feels the stress of the situation. You know,
yeah.
And I watched this movie with Marley, and Marley, at one point, Marley and I were like, oh my God, if that baby doesn't shut up, like, we're going to have to put the captions on and watch this movie with mute.
Yeah.
You know,
at one point, she's hiding in the closet with the baby, and I'm like, this is the most unrealistic thing in the movie. That baby would not be that quiet for this long.
Right. No, I thought it was great. I thought it was a great sort of crime drama. I think the worst thing I can say about it is that I thought it was great. It could have been better.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Like, I don't know if they spent so much time on her and the child and like building up that like drama and tension there that they dropped the ball on building up the drama and tension of the actual story to the point where it's just like, I don't really know what's going on. And then stuff happens and you're like, but does it really change anything? Because, you know, nothing really has the weight. Like, they give names to people and those people die, but it's like, who were they? Why should I care?
You know, yeah.
Were they just a hitman or were they like a level up? I can't really tell. I don't know. But the acting is good.
The acting was great. There's a lot to like about this movie.
Yeah. So I would say it's on Amazon. It's I'm Your Woman. And, you know, if you're in for like a thriller mystery, I'd say watch it, but I mean, definitely not if you want to relax, because that
watch it on mute with captions.
Oh, God, please.
All right. Well, that's our movie review. We are a good bit into the show, and I have no idea what we're going to watch next week. So before we get to that, let's talk about, we had a lot of good ones this week. We had listeners, news, notes, questions, and answers.
Yeah.
The first one I want to talk about is Frodo, our new one of my new favorites. Frodo wrote in, you could say she composed an email, if you will. She jotted down a correspondence. She quilled a communique.
Yeah.
She waxed loquacious.
She opened up her book, and the skies raineth down their words.
Now, we have not been able to get her official academic records, but it's clear that she's some kind of English major. I have no idea what she wrote into us about because I was too distracted looking up every other word. Every sentence included a word that I needed to look up.
I read her like 3-paragraph email, and I loved every moment of it, mostly because every new word she dropped, I just got a bigger grin about how it's like, oh man, I'm gonna have to tell Penn what that one means. There's another dictionary one.
You know, I don't use my dictionary as often as I used to because now I just have dictionary.com. So I clicked and I cut and pasted her entire email into dictionary.com.
Not even just into Google Translate.
Right. Put it into Google Translate. So a lot of them were like Scrabble words. I kept a side list and wrote down like words that I'm going to use next time I play Scrabble. My friend Mary Steffi, she's a big Scrabble player. She beats me every single time, but not anymore. Well, now that I got Frodo on my side, I think I'm going to turn the corner here. But some of the highlights that Tristan wrote were she used happenstance a couple times, yeah. Which that's. I mean, I knew what that meant. I'm going to start using that word. I think I can use that word.
Happenstance.
Yeah, don't you think I could use that word?
I mean, give me an example.
I was walking through the kitchen, and by happenstance, there was a Ben and Jerry's on the counter.
You did it. I questioned if you'd be able to, but you did it.
All right, let me try this one. A listener wrote in an email and used the word happenstance.
Even better.
I used it twice.
Wow.
The other one that I got was actually, I don't know if this counts as 2 or 3 words, but there's really like 4 words in there. And she referred, this was like something I could see you using. She referred to a metafictional in-universe. David, can you break that down for me? What the hell does that mean?
It means that within this universe, there's more fiction that the characters believe. So it's like there's the fiction of the characters, but then the characters have their own fictional universes that they experience.
Is the Penn Cinema Podcast a fictional universe?
I would say so, yeah.
I remember the first time I heard the word, somebody called me meta when, what happened? I accidentally left work at the same time that it was opening night of the most recent Star Wars, and I was there working, and I accidentally left work at the exact same time that one of the Star Wars sets was letting out, and I got stuck in a traffic jam in my own parking lot, and then I posted about it on Facebook.
Oh, MetaPen. That's what they call it.
MetaPen. Right. But the win, do you sign off when you send an email? Do you sign off? Do you have like do you end emails a certain way?
Yeah, I usually say love. Well, when I leave, I say love, peace, chicken grease, you know?
Love, peace. You know what? Almost every email that I send, I end with thanks. Because to me, like, gratitude is everything. And so it's a casual, lighthearted, but for me, it also has a greater level to it. You know, you're expressing thanks. And so I always sign off my email, thanks, PK. But Tristan signed off her email by saying, valedictively, Tristan.
Rich.
Now I'm throwing the yellow flag and saying that's not a word.
It's not.
Am I right? Really?
As far as I'm aware, you know, Googling it and stuff, she might have missed valedictorily, maybe.
Oh, okay. All right. See, this is what happens. People think that because we're two fun-loving guys, they think they can make up fancy words and try to sneak them by us.
Right.
No, let me tell you.
When you copy and paste this into Google Docs, there's a little red squiggly under it because it's not spelt right. And then you know. That's how you know.
What's up?
Not a real word.
You got to get a pretty pretty early in the morning to get one by us. I'm just saying. All right, now, I think amidst all the fancy words, by happenstance, there was an actual topic to be discussed.
Yeah.
And that topic, I think, is worth commenting on.
I don't think that's the appropriate use of that, but I'm going to let it slide.
What? I think it works. By happenstance, Frodo is a big animation fan. And I just think it's worth noting, like, we don't get too into animation. By happenstance, I think 2021 is going to be a great year for animation. We got Tom and Jerry right off the bat. How come we've never talked about Bob's Burgers getting a full-length feature film in early 2021?
I didn't know that was happening.
Well, it is. And in November, I think the biggest animation of the year is going to be Encanto. But I would really appreciate a listener to write in and give me the lowdown on what animation we should be paying attention to in 2021. Because I feel like this is a genre that I love. But I don't know. I often kind of miss it. Like I'm not good at following it. Am I on the wrong websites? Am I not connected to the right groups?
Well, we could have experienced the Croods, but someone said that it wasn't for me. I'm not allowed to watch it. It's not for me.
Yeah. All right. Top 10 Sarah wrote in and recommend. Now, this was a couple weeks old, but we forgot to talk about it. She wrote in and recommended a documentary that she especially thought I would like called Blood Road, which is about a famous mountain biker named Rebecca Rush. And Rebecca Rush is she's amazing. She's a fan of mine. I'm sorry. She is not a fan of mine. She has never heard of me, but I am a fan of hers. I am a fan of, right. And if you go up to my bookshelf, I do have her book, and she signed the inside of it, and I paid an extra whatever to have her sign it. And I'm a big fan of hers. She is a stud. She's an amazing person, and her book actually really did inspire me a few years ago when it came out. And so I'm a big fan of hers, and I did, in fact, watch Blood Road, and I also recommend it to our listeners. It's a documentary about her return to the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam, which is where her father died. I think he died during the Vietnam War. I might have that detail wrong. But she rode her mountain bike 1,200 miles with a cohort on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And it's a very moving documentary. So if you're looking for an odd but good documentary, I believe it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Blood Road, about Rebecca. Sarah, thanks for writing that in. I was totally hip to this. I'm not at all surprised that you're also hip to this, given your great taste in movies.
Yeah, that's awesome. She also insists that we should be watching Disney, as you wrote it here, Disney Plouse's Mando.
Yeah, Disney Plouse. Disney, I mean, a lot of people are watching Disney Plus, but if you use your remote and go up one channel, you get the Disney Plouse.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
A lot of people don't know that, but it's just one click up. It's Disney Plouse. And she's insisting that she's a friend of the show. She's absolutely 100% a friend of the show. So I did not take offense, but I thought it was funny. She wrote this email in all caps.
She knows what's up. Because Mandalorian, man, this season, it's the best thing that Star Wars has done since... Man.
Since what, David? Since what? Finish that sentence. I'm not letting you off the hook. Finish that sentence. David Moulton reports Mandalorian is the best thing Star Wars has done since what?
Well, at least since Rogue One, if not since the prequels. Pen's out. He's gone. Later. Oh, he came back.
the prequels? What?
Yeah.
You're as drunk as the Trevenator.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying the prequels are good, but I'm just saying they weren't anything like those sequels.
Oh, my God. You are impossible.
Rogue One, though, is absolutely amazing.
Okay, I agree with that. Okay, so we're going to say that Mandalorian is the best thing they've done since Rogue One.
Or you could say, as some people online have been saying, Mandalorian has saved Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That could say that.
I mean, all kidding aside, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Are you going to watch it?
I'm okay with that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, 100%. I haven't yet, but I'm going.
Did you finish season one? Did you watch season one?
I watched season one. I did not finish season one. Don't tell anybody. It's like my dirty secret. Because when people like see me, they bump into me and they just tell me, like, everybody just assumes I watch it. So like I bump into somebody and they start talking to me about Mandalorian, and I just smile and nod, you know, like the penguins in Madagascar, just smile and wave, boys. And you know, nobody ever asks me, like, did you see it? They just walk up to me and start talking to me about it. So I just smile and nod. So it's like my big dirty secret. So don't tell anybody that I haven't finished season one yet.
I won't. I'll just put it in this podcast and post it online for everyone to see.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, are we going to talk about this? I mean, are we concerned for Trevenator? Is this just a one? Does he have a problem with Ovaltine?
Well, here's the thing. Do we have any way to get in touch with people that are around the Trevenator? Because I feel like it's a call for help.
Yeah, it's clearly a cry for help.
It would be irresponsible of us not to have someone check on him. Like,
I mean, the show, David, is all about fun and games, and we try to have a good time here, but my God, we care about people.
Like, if we called the cops and said the Trevenator needs a checkup, like a wellness checkup, you think they'd,
right.
they'd know where to go, right?
Well, here's the thing. At first, they... Right, they would absolutely know where to go. But here's the thing. If we called the cops and we were like, hey, you know, our boy needs a checkup, somebody check in on him, they'd be like, what's the big deal? I'm sure he's fine. And then I would be like, well, he wrote into the show and recommended that we watch Love and Monsters.
All you'd hear is the phone hitting the side of the table and the sirens going off as the cars peeled, like several cars peeled out.
Yeah, so I mean, we've gotten bizarre emails before. I'm going to choose to believe that it's just happenstance that he happened to write, you know, about Love and Monsters. I feel like maybe he was pulling. Do you think is it possible that he, in fact, does not have any problems, but rather was just calling to pull our chain?
I don't know. The Trevenator is a longtime listener, and he knows your feelings about Love and Monsters. So maybe, but maybe he actually did watch it, because I think someone else wrote in a while ago and said, not as bad as you think.
Oh, I think it was him.
Was it him?
And I think it was him. And I think we mocked him openly, as we're prone to do.
He must really be a believer if he's willing to put through getting mocked by us, the pinnacle of people.
Right.
You know.
Right. 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 Okay, so thanks, Trevenator. I immediately deleted your email, and did you see my reply, Bill? Did you see what I wrote back?
Yeah. He's drunk on Ovaltine.
I said, call me back when you sober up. Last week, let me just take as a brief aside here before we get to the last letter. We got lots of, so I just want to thank everybody. We got lots of great recommendations for movies that we should be watching. we didn't take any of them. Not a single one.
I love our text. So I don't really want to watch any of these. Okay, what else?
This is why nobody likes the show. So anyway, speaking of people who don't like the show, No Name Curtis wrote in and recommended three really good movies, and I think one of them I hadn't seen, the other one I was aware of, but the one that I wanted to comment on was Chef. Do you remember this one from 2014?
I don't. Have you seen it?
So I saw it when it came out in 2014, and I loved it. And then when it was available, I think I saw it on whether it was Netflix or Prime or somewhere on my at home. I watched it again because it's a beautiful story. It's really well done. It's really terrific. And I felt like I don't know. It's just one of those movies. I don't want to. I feel like calling it a feel-good movie doesn't do it justice. You know what I mean? But it's just it is. But that it kind of is what it is. It's a feel-good movie. I think it stars Jon Favreau as the acting, you know, as the main character. But anyway, I thought it was really great, and I thank him a lot. If you haven't seen it, maybe that's the movie we should watch this coming week.
Have you seen Ghost in the Darkness?
I mean, I saw it when it came out. You want to watch that one?
No, no, that was another one he recommended. I said, you watch that, I'll watch this. But I haven't seen it. I'd be down to watch it.
All right, let's watch Chef. 2014 movie called Chef starring Jon Favreau. That's what we're going to watch if you want to watch at home with us. Feel free to watch it and let us know your thoughts and opinions on it. Yeah, I'm looking for it. It's been a few years since I watched it, so I'm happy to watch it again because, like I said, I love it.
This is the best feel-good movie I've ever seen. I'm coming for you. All right, let's get into what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing this week? I'll go ahead and start since you've been blabbing away for a while. I don't want to hurt your throat with all that talking. I got into The Mandalorian, which ended this week. And since you're going to watch it, I can't spoil anything, but all I'm saying is normally you don't have to watch through the credits, but when you get to the end of the last episode of this season, you got to watch through the credits all the way to the end. They're calling it the Marvelification of Star Wars. Is what I've been seeing people say. So I really
didn't we talk about that on last week? Aren't they doing the same thing with Wonder Woman?
There's a stinger at the end of Wonder Woman, but this is a stinger at the end of a TV show. It just changes things.
Okay, I get it.
Because it's not unusual for the DC movies to have stingers. It's just they don't ever come into anything. They're just.
I disagree. I think it is unusual for DC movies to have stingers.
Nah, because didn't Justice League have one? And yeah, Justice League had Superman and the Flash racing.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
The other thing I watched this week is they dropped the first three episodes of season 5 of The Expanse, which is a phenomenal show, and it's an even better set of books. I'm just telling you, those books are downright amazing. The show is also really good. It's not as good as the books, but it's good. Season 3 is off to a great start. I'm totally hooked. When I got to end of episode 3 and I was ready to binge into episode 4 and it wasn't there, I was just like, what is the world coming to? Why would they do this to me? David Benjamin Moulton, the most important Amazon Prime viewer on record in this apartment. And I didn't have an answer because nobody was there. But
what was the headline we said earlier this episode about David Moulton keeping it real for 100 weeks in a row?
So true, so true. So that was my big things. I finished out The Queen's Gambit, which again we've talked about it several times. It's absolutely amazing. So
loved it. I took a trip to Longwood Gardens.
Oh, how was it this year?
It was fantastic. I highly recommend it. If you're feeling stir crazy and you're looking for a safe way to get out of the house and do something with a friend or family member, or whatever. Kayla surprised us with a trip there, and we had the annual Ketchum Family Scavenger Hunt, and Longwood Gardens was kind of the main event there. We had some other fun things along the way. I've also been watching Big Little Lies, which is a few years old, and The Undoing, which is new. I'm just getting into The Undoing, so I would just sort of say so far so good. But yeah, I don't have a lot to report. That's what I'm up to.
Cool. All right, well, next week we'll be watching Chef, so definitely write us in. Let us know if you like that. Of course, you can be a part of the show in many different ways with giving us an answer to have a question to, or questions that you want us to answer, whatever. We're here. Shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. Now, if you want to support the show, what is the number one way you can do that, Penn?
Well, you know what the cool kids are doing this week?
What's that?
I mean, I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but, you know, just if some of you did this, it'd be cool. So what you do is you get yourself a bottle of pop. That's what, you know, the cool kids call soda. And you get yourself some soda. And you drink it, you know, and when you're done, you rinse it out a little bit so the inside's not gross and sticky. You got you know, an empty bottle of Coke there. And what you do is you get a piece of scrap paper and you write on it, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
And then you roll it up real neat and you slide it into the bottle, and then you put the lid and screw it back onto the bottle. And then what you do is you drive down to, like, I don't know, the Verrazano Bridge, It's important that you get a good bridge. It can't just be you could go down to like the Del Member Bridge or, you know, anything like that. Wow. But the Verrazano is my bridge of choice. So the Tappan Zee would be a good choice. George Washington would be a good choice. Okay. Brooklyn Bridge, of course, is my favorite bridge. But for communicating important secret messages, the Verrazano really can't be beat. So drive over to the Verrazano and then pretend that you got like a flat tire or an engine problem or something right at the peak of the bridge and pull over. Right, and put your four-ways on so you're super safe. And then just walk over to the other edge of the bridge and be careful because we don't want you to hurt yourself. And take that bottle with the secret message and throw it overboard into the river where it will go down and surely be received by some people who are like on a raft looking for a good podcast.
I mean, that's where I look for all my podcasts. I get on a raft and I'm just like, it'll come to me. I just know, inner searching.
Yeah. You know? So that's the easiest one. I mean, there's lots of other things you could do, but that's the easiest. That's the easiest way to, you know, help the podcast.
Yeah.
Help the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, let me just give you an idea for some good stocking stuffers. You know?
Yeah.
Get yourself like a USB drive. Maybe you're going to need at least 9 gigs of space. Right?
I know where you're going.
At least 9 gigs of space. And then you just load it up with all 101 episodes of the Penn Cinema podcast. Wrap that sucker up. Just slide it right into that little, you know, right into that stocking.
And oh,
then,
man.
And when they open it, you just look at them and be like, now you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a huge gift this year, I imagine.
People are going to be all over that.
Right, right.
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.